Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, this weekend across every continent and in thousands of languages, millions of people will join together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. But you know, it doesn't stop there. Not only was Jesus resurrected, He is still alive. And now once again, Pastor Rick. He's got the final part of a message called How Jesus Revitalizes Your Life.
The last thing that Jesus did with his followers on that very first Easter that he wants to do with you today on this Easter is this. It's my favorite one of all. He helps you believe. In spite of all your doubts, he helps you believe. Now, of the 12 guys that Jesus chose to follow him, my favorite of the 12 is a guy named Thomas. I love this guy. And I love him because he's honest and authentic. And I love him because of this story that's right here in this chapter. It says this, "Now Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But Thomas said, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my hand into his side wound, I'm not going to believe.' A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them, and he said, 'Peace be with you.'" That's the third time he said this. And he says to Thomas, "Thomas, put your finger here, right here in my hand. Put your fingers in, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Go ahead, it's all right, touch me. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God." I love that story. I love that story in the first place. I like Thomas because he's honest and open about his doubts. This guy's not putting you on. He's not pretending. He's an honest seeker. He's going, "I got some real doubts." He goes, "Wait a minute. I don't just automatically accept what somebody tells me. I check it out for myself." To me, that sounds pretty logical, pretty rational, pretty sane. I don't just automatically accept what people tell me. I want to check it out for myself. You see, people have gotten a bad idea of doubt. Doubt's gotten a bad rap. Doubt is not a bad thing, friends. Doubt is good if it motivates to investigate. If the purpose of doubt is to motivate to investigate, that's a good thing. If it causes you to say, "I think I need to check this out," great. When in doubt, check it out. Now, if you've got doubts and you don't check it out, well, that's dumb. It's not even, you don't even have doubt. It's just an excuse for not doing anything. Doubt should motivate to investigate. When in doubt, check it out. I'm going to check it out for myself. That sounds pretty good sense to me. You say, "Rick, do you ever have any doubts?" Of course I do. Of course I do. There are a lot of times I'm reading this Bible and I'm going, "Whoa, why did God say that? Or why did God do that? You know, if I were God, I wouldn't do that." You should be glad I'm not God. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but if you could figure out why God does everything he does, you'd be God. But you can't because you're not. And for you or me to try to understand why God does everything he does, says what he does what he does, would be like an ant trying to understand the internet. You don't have the brain capacity. And neither do I. I don't have the brain capacity to understand the creator who created the entire universe. So it's pretty ludicrous. And I have a list of doubts that I've made. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down with Jesus and say, can you explain this one to me? Can you explain why you did this one? And I'm just going to go through my list of doubts. Now, I like Thomas because he's honest. He goes, you know, I got some doubts. Fine. Great. The second thing I like about Thomas is that even though he doubts, where is he? He's hanging out with believers. Well, now that makes sense. If you are a doubter, you got doubts about God, you got doubts about the Bible, about Jesus, this is where you need to be, right here. Saddleback is your church. This is a church for doubters. You will never be put down for doubting here. You're never going to be disrespected here. You're never going to be misjudged or anything. Welcome to the club. Here's a guy, Thomas, who traveled with Jesus for 3 years and still had his doubts. So welcome to the club. Your pastor's had doubts. Welcome to the club. This is the thing is, if you have doubts, if you just hang out with doubters, guess what? You're never going to get any of them resolved. But if you hang out with believers, there is a slight possibility that you might just find some suitable answers for some of the things that you have doubted. You're certainly not going to find it hanging out with doubters. So congratulations, you're at the right place. The third thing I love about this guy, Thomas, is that when he is eventually faced with reality, come on, Thomas, touch my hands. You know, I'm not a ghost. Touch my hands. Touch my side. He doesn't waffle. He's not stubbornly prideful. He says, my Lord and my God. He makes the decision given the evidence he's got. Many of you know, or some of you may know, that this last week, Newsweek magazine invited me to debate the leading atheist in America, Sam Harris. And it was nearly a four-hour debate. Now, I didn't consider this guy an enemy. In fact, I hope he considers me a friend now after 4 hours. Because I didn't see this guy in opposition. I saw this guy as a guy who Jesus Christ loved, Jesus Christ died for, and Jesus Christ wants him to know him in a personal way. And we had a good, exchange of views. One of the things I said is, Sam, how much of human knowledge would you say do we have of the entire universe? Would you say that most of what is known in the world, we don't know? Yes. Would you say that of all the knowledge in the universe, we might only know 0.00001%? Yes. So, as human beings, we don't know 99.99999999% of the universe. Yeah. But you are certain there is no God. Yes. Well, now, Sam, to say automatically rule out that God could not possibly exist in the 99.999% that we don't know, to me, that doesn't sound rational. That sounds like presumption. I said, you know, when I talk with atheists, it's not that they don't believe in God. It bothers me. It doesn't bother me at all. What bothers me is why they don't believe in God. I said, if there was a God, would you have to make some radical changes in your lifestyle? Yes. Well, see, the real issue is you just don't want a boss. You don't want a sovereign Lord. It's not that you can't believe, it's that you don't want to believe, because if you don't have to believe, you can just do anything you want to do. You can be your own God. It's not that you can't believe, you don't want to believe. You see, if you have real doubts, I respect that. I do. You have real doubts, I respect that. What I don't respect is stubborn pride masquerading as doubt. Now, if you have doubts, let me give you some suggestions that have helped me. First, look around. Okay, look around. Right now, there are thousands of people seated here at Saddleback in our different venues. And a couple minutes ago, they were standing singing, "We'll be living for your glory." All of these people could not be delusional. They all couldn't be just making it up. Here at Saddleback Church, there are tens of thousands of people whose lives have been changed by a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in America, there are hundreds of millions whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. And around the world, there are 2.3 billion people who claim, I have a personal relationship with Christ. I talk to him just like I'm talking to you. That would mean that the burden of proof is on you. And I would simply check it out. That means it's not just some kind of little weird cult, one or two people. Not all of those 2.3 billion people could be dumb. Some of them are. But there might just be in those 2.3 billion some people who are smarter than you, who have a higher IQ than you, who are more intellectual than you. And so really, when in doubt, check it out. The second thing that I would say is doubt your doubts. You know, I don't know why it is, but we get this thing backwards. Doubts are meant to be doubted, and beliefs are meant to be believed. But what we tend to do is we tend to believe our doubts, and we doubt our beliefs. Now, what's the logic of that one? Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. I wish somebody had told me a long time ago that I could come to Jesus Christ and begin a relationship with him and get to know God and secure my eternity in heaven without having all my doubts cleared up first. I wish I had known that. I would have come to Christ, committed myself fully to him so much sooner. You see, I thought I had to have all the answers figured out, all my doubts resolved. If that was true, I would have never come to Christ. I still have doubts, as I said, things I don't understand. But it doesn't stop me from enjoying a relationship to God. I learned a long time ago, I don't have to understand something to enjoy it. Right now, there are television pictures floating through this air, right now. They're going through my body. I can't prove that to you. But I tell you, there's television pictures going through the air, and if I had a tuner and I could tune it in right now, you'd see the picture. I don't know. I personally can't explain that. But I learned a long time ago, I don't have to be able to explain a television in order to watch Lost. Okay? I can enjoy it. I don't understand how a cell phone works. I don't understand how a nuclear reactor works. I'm grateful for the energy of it. I don't understand all of the chemistry of digestion. That doesn't stop me from eating a steak or a rack of ribs at Lucille's. I don't have to understand it in order to enjoy it. And I learned a long time ago that I didn't have to understand all the questions and doubts about God to enjoy him. And I've enjoyed him, a relationship and a friendship for decades with him. The third thing I would encourage you to do is ask God to help you with your doubts. If you are truly intellectually honest, I mean, you're not just blowing smoke, you're using doubt as an excuse because you don't want a boss. Just say, God, help me with my doubts. If there is a God, then I want to know you. And if there is a God, and what Jesus said is true, then I want to know the truth. So God, help me with my doubts if it's true. That's intellectually honest. You know, a guy came to Jesus one day. Jesus is walking down the street, and a guy walks up to him, and he's got a daughter in his arm, and who's very sick. She's very ill, and she's about to die. And the guy comes up to Jesus and said, Lord, I need you to heal my daughter. She's dying. And Jesus looks at the guy and says, well, do you believe I can heal her? And the guy's answer is classic. I love it because he's just honest. He's authentic. And he says, well, Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubt. Help me with my doubts. That's classic. Jesus, do you believe? I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. And Jesus goes, well, that's good enough. Bam, he heals the girl. I love that. I love that. Did you know that you can say that to Jesus Christ today? Hey, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. I dare you to say it. I dare you to say it. I want to believe. Help me with my doubts. If you're not willing to say that, it's not really doubt that's holding you back. It's pride. It's that I want to run my own life. Now, Jesus helps us believe in the way that's best for us. And with some people, they come to believe through an intellectual argument, and some people come through an experience, and some people, they look at a person, a Christian, they go, I want to be like that guy or her. Or it's a story or it's an emotion, or it's a feeling, or it's a circumstance, or it's logic. God knows what you're going to need to get to know him, and he will use that. He will help you believe. Now, let me just summarize this. You're running on empty. Jesus wants to do for you the seven things that he did for his disciples the very first Easter. The disciples were afraid, so he comes and meets them where they are when they're in hiding. And he meets them where they are. And the disciples are confused. They go, what's gone on? What's happened? So he gives them a word of encouragement. Hang on, guys. Peace be with you. Chill out. It's okay. The disciples feel unloved, so he says, this is how much I love you. This much. Look at my hands. This is how much I love you. The disciples feel ashamed for having flaked out on him and run away when he needed him most. So what's he do? He offers them forgiveness. And he does that to you. The disciples are feeling all alone. They're locked in a house. They're afraid. They're alone. Jesus said, you don't ever have to be alone anymore. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I will never, ever leave you. A man may leave you. A woman may leave you, but I'm never going to leave you. They're feeling useless. They think God couldn't use me anymore after all I've gone through and all I've done. He said, you guys, get it together. We're going on the greatest adventure of life. We're going to go change the world. He gives them a new reason to live. And when they feel doubtful, he says, let me help you believe. He doesn't put you down. He doesn't scold you. He says, let me help you believe. And he's ready to do the same for you this Easter. Last verse on your outline. Jesus said, you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. You know who that's talking about? You. You. Let's bow our heads. As we close this Easter service, I'm going to pray a prayer like I prayed many years ago when I stepped across the line, and I invite you to follow me in this prayer right now. Just say it in your mind, and God will hear you. It's the reason God brought you to this service today. Just say, me too, Lord, when I say this prayer. Dear Jesus Christ, you know when I'm running on empty, and you know when I hurt, and you know when I hurt others. This Easter, I ask you to revitalize my life, physically and emotionally and spiritually. Thank you for meeting me where I am. God, I need your peace to handle the things that stress me out. Thank you for showing your love for me by dying for me. I ask you to forgive all my sins and help me to let go of the people who've hurt me. I ask you to fill me with your presence. I need your power and love and self-control. Help me to discover your purpose for my life. Help me to believe and to learn to trust you more each day. Today, with all my doubts, I want to step across the line and begin a relationship with you. And I ask you to save and revitalize my life. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hey, if you've just prayed along with Rick to accept Jesus in your life, Rick would love to hear from you. Just email rick@pastorrick.com. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
You know, I've often said that I'm addicted to change lives. It's what keeps me going. One good story from you can keep me going for another month. To hear how God's working in your life, it just keeps me motivated. So you bless me with your stories. Here's one that came from a woman named Tania, who's a brand new believer. She wrote, Pastor Rick, I'm a new person in Christ, and I'm learning more and more every day. My supervisor here at work came in about a week ago and told me about your Daily Hope devotional and your broadcast. I am now hooked. Listening to Daily Hope each morning has become a blessing to my soul. It's really helped me to implement the Word of God in my daily life. Well, Tania, this is why we do what we do. This is why we do Daily Hope, for people like you, people who want to grow, who desire to grow, and who take the time to grow by getting into God's Word on a daily basis. Now, I want you to notice something about Tania's story. She didn't find the Daily Hope broadcast or podcast on her own.
It was her coworker who told her about Daily Hope. Who have you told? You may have been listening to Daily Hope for weeks or months or even longer. Would you be an agent of love and an agent of hope and tell four or five people this week? Look for somebody today. Send an email. Write a text. Call somebody on the phone and say, this has helped me in my spiritual life, and I want to pass it on to you that Daily Hope can help you grow in your faith and in your walk in Christ. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope and tell somebody about it. God bless you.
You know, a great way to share the good news of Jesus is to share the Daily Hope messages with people who need to hear them. Just go to PastorRick.com, click on the Listen tab. There you'll find buttons where you can share the message by email, social media, or WhatsApp. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.